You're listening to Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. We're going to talk about the little new robot vacuum cleaners. Have you seen one? Maybe you have one. How did the inventor come up with that idea, and why did it succeed? It really has succeeded. Joining us now is Helen Grainer, and with her company iRobot, she invented those robots who house clean, the Roomba robotic floor vacs, a sweep over 1 million homes. And with the same technology, she developed robots who hunt for bombs. And now she's collaborating with the U.S. Army to invent more robotic tools. In 2003, Ms. Grainer was recognized by Fortune magazine as one of the top 10 innovators in the country. What technology drives her robots, and can they really have a personality, which is one of her goals in designing robots? We'll talk with her about it. So if you'd like to talk with Helen Grainer, our number is 1-800-989-8255. Let me introduce her. Helen Grainer is the chairman and co-founder of iRobot Corporation in Burlington, Massachusetts. And I met her by accident. Last week I was in Davos at the World Economic Forum, and we were at a party. We started talking. I thought, this is an interesting woman. Let's have her come on. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. And do you remember your first question?
I don't remember. Does it really work? How can a little vacuum cleaner like that pick up the stuff that you have those giant Hoovers have trouble with? Tell us how it works.
And I said, absolutely. Well, the Roomba works. You push a button and you walk away. And when you come back, the sweeping and vacuuming is done. And it works by, it has a sweeper flapper mechanism to pick up the large particulate, like the Cheerios.
Right.
And that reserves the vacuum for the dust. And so, you know, together you get a very effective low-power cleaning. And we need low power because we don't have the luxury of sucking it out of the wall.
Right. So I'll reconstruct our conversation. So I said it sort of works like a combination carpet sweeper and vacuum cleaner.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. The key is that the artificial intelligence on board allows it to do the job on its own. So we haven't just invented a better way to do vacuuming,
right,
but we've invented a way so you don't have to do vacuuming anymore.
What does the brain tell it to do, and how does it know when it's done and where to go and things like that?
Well, it has a lot of sensors on board, and, you know, for example, infrared and bump sensing and pickup sensing, and it has this behavioral control system on board that allow it to respond to its local sensor readings. So, for example, it won't fall down the stairs ever.
Wow.
And it can follow walls.
It's two things better than I can do, so.
And it's got, you know, the navigation, so it can get around the whole floor, go right under beds and under couches, so it gets the whole room clean.
Does it know when to turn that it's done and it finds its way back to the charging station, right?
Yes, when it's, you tell it to clean and it tries to figure out how big the room is,
mm-hmm,
and then that feeds into the time that it's on. And then when it's done with that, or it feels like it's running out of charge, like it needs a little battery power, it goes back to the charging station and charges itself, so it's good to go.
Now, you also said that you like your robots to have a personality. Does this have a personality?
It does. It, it's small. It runs around on its own. It responds to senses. And the only experience that our users have had with something like that has been, you know, pets in their home.
Mm-hmm.
And so people start to, like, name the robot. And we've kind of encouraged it a little bit with, the types of sounds it makes when it, you know, the little happy sounds when it's done with the job, or the uh-oh sounds when it gets stuck, or sounds when it's done charging, kind of reminiscent of R2-D2.
Yeah. There's so much to talk about. Let me ask you about the other kinds of robots that you're working on. You're working on robots for the military?
Yes, yes.
Can you talk about that, or you're going to shoot me after we talk?
No, I can, in fact. They're doing some wonderful stuff for our soldiers. They were first deployed in Afghanistan, where the Taliban were hiding weapons caches in caves, and we were actually sending our soldiers in, crouching down, crawling into caves where there might be an ambush, where there might be booby traps, and we deployed the robots who started to be used on these missions instead.
Hmm.
Now, in Iraq, it's all about bomb disposal. Terrorists are setting roadside bombs, and again, what we were doing is sending soldiers up to the roadside bomb. It's really dangerous. You know, you can lose a limb or even your life. And now they're sending the pack bots out, and it keeps the soldier at a safe distance while they, you know, the pack bot goes out and it takes out the bomb.
So are you working on any, you know, more domestic robots that we can expect to see?
Yes, but I can't tell you about them.
You wouldn't tell me last week, and you're not going to.
I'm not going to tell you on the air.
Something we'll like, I'm sure.
I believe it'll be every bit as popular as the Roomba has been.
How did you get interested in this? Have you always been interested in robots?
I saw Star Wars when I was 11.
Yeah.
That shows how old I am. And there was something about R2-D2 that, you know, he was more than a machine. He had his own personality, his own mission. And, you know, he was one of the characters, in fact, the only character that made it through all the movies. And, you know, at the same time, I was hacking on a Radio Shack TRS-80 computer, one of the early PCs.
Sure.
And I could kind of see the connection between the two. And I had absolutely no idea how difficult it would be to make a robot. So 30 years later.
Wow. Now, I know you have an Army contract for $37 million for the Small Unmanned Ground Vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
That's like a fancy name for a robot, right?
Yes, exactly.
But you have to have that kind of name for the military.
You actually do.
So what will this do?
Well, the PackBot is doing some wonderful stuff overseas, mm-hmm. but when they were carrying around the hills of Afghanistan and they were carrying it, you know, 5-mile hikes, you know, I heard the quote, "Yeah, this is portable for big men on short hikes." And so what the Army is asking us to do is make a smaller but even more capable version.
Ah.
And that really hits the nail on the head. They actually, the soldiers in Afghanistan, we had a guy over there, they actually had him put it on his back and walk, you know, hike 5 miles.
Right.
And when he got back, he was like, yep, robot needs to be lighter. So we have a contract to build an even lighter version. And that sounds easy, but every part on it has to change. We have to have new types of materials. We have to have new chemistries in our power systems. We have to have new communication systems and new computational systems in order to achieve the requirements.
Sure, and it's got to be tough enough to be under combat conditions.
Absolutely. Yeah. And interfaced. Like, the PackBot is kind of an independent turnkey system. This one has to interface to the military infrastructure.
So it could go up to satellites and things like that.
Exactly. So you can share the information, not just to the soldier who's using it locally, but to the rest of the to the squad or to the, you know, the generals behind the lines.
1-800-989-8255. Iggy in Kansas City. Hi, welcome to Science Friday.
Great. How are you there?
Hi there.
Great. Hey, I was curious to know if iRobot is working on a domesticated model of a robotic mower.
A lawnmower.
A lawnmower. I currently own a Friendly Robotics lawnmower. Have had it for 4 years. An absolutely fabulous piece of equipment. Have saved me hundreds of hours of non-mowing. So I just love it. Dogs, you know, just hate it. But I was just curious if iRobot is doing anything along those lines and when we can expect it.
Well, Ms. Greener?
That's wonderful. We, you know, I really believe that people with positive first robot experiences are going to be, you know, our next, you know, the customers of our next products, you know, from swimming pool robots to mowing robots to entertainment robots like the Sony Aibo. I know people with 5 robots in their house today, and they're not all made by iRobot. I couldn't talk specifically about particular products we'll put on the market, but, you know, we consider all the jobs around the house that people don't like to do, like dusting, scrubbing, cleaning the toilet, mowing the lawn, shoveling the snow, raking the leaves, all to be ripe for robotic technology.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Marty in Santa Cruz. Hi, Marty.
Hi. Yeah, I want to make a remark. I mean, your guest sounds like a very nice lady, and it sounds like there's legitimate uses for these robots in the Army. But I've recently been reading about the SWORDS units, these Special Weapons Observation Reconnaissance Detection Systems, which are robots that the Army is going to be setting loose, they say initially like 18 of them, in Iraq, which just go out, and they're like little Terminator units that seek and destroy and kill people. And it's like, it seems like we're going down a road in which we, you know, we're ready to not only invade countries, but do it without risking anything to ourselves. And there's something frightening and disgusting about it. And
Okay, I'll go see if Helen Grainer wants to comment.
Yeah. Oh, sure, sure. I believe that, you know, these are military pieces of equipment. I believe that what's important is that the decision on any lethality is in the hands of a human. I don't believe that they're like the Terminator devices. You know, those ones that are not our robots, they are built by Foster Miller. But, you know, we have to make sure as a society that the decision-making on any use of lethality is in humans' hands.
All right. Thanks for calling, Marty. I understand you have a collaboration, speaking of the military, with John Deere to build a utility vehicle for them?
Yes.
A robotic one?
Yes, we are a strategic partnership that, you know, extends beyond this first application. What we're doing is, you know, we've built kind of like the James Bond car. It can be driven in, or it can run on its own. So it can do things like follow people. It can go from GPS waypoint to waypoint. It can go and, you know, patrol a perimeter or be used in a logistics convoy. We have a lot of soldiers that get shot while they're just, you know, driving equipment from place to place. You know, along the lines of the PackBot, we believe this will be very much life-saving technology.
Mm-hmm.
On the PackBot side of things, we've got pieces of PackBots back. You know, this used to be a robot, now it's a bunch of pieces. That could have been a soldier. So sending the robots out into dangerous jobs is something, you know, that we feel very strongly about. Sometimes on a small vehicle, you can't carry the payload or, you know, pick up the type of equipment that you want. And mm-hmm. so we're extending, from our portable systems into larger and larger vehicles.
Did you read Michael Crichton's book, Prey?
No, but I've been told I should.
It's a combination of nanotechnology meets robotics. You know?
I know, and that's great. We have a swarm project here. This is research that we do for the military. We actually have 100 robots that work together, and it's a real experiment into purely distributed algorithms so it can scale from 100 units to 1,000 units to 10,000 units.
Right.
And, you know, the robots can aggregate and congregate and
Are these big robots or tiny little robots?
Yeah, tiny little robots.
Tiny little robots.
They can follow the leader. And, you know, when I give people tours of the company,
right,
you know, people's mouths drop open when they see this. It's like, those robots are cooperating. And, you know, we believe that we extend the robot capabilities when they cooperate. And we'll see it in the homes eventually.
You'll have to read Prey because this is exactly what goes on, you know, in that book. We're talking with Helen Grainer on Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. Is there a limit in intelligence-wise that you can make a robot?
I don't believe there is an organic limit. But that said, we are certainly not anywhere near human-level intelligence yet in the robotic systems.
Hmm.
But I don't believe there's a dividing point where, oh, this is human and this is robotic.
Hmm.
That said, there's a lot of work to be done. Computers and robots think in a very different way than humans do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like a computer chess game that does a very long depth-first search, whereas a human
right.
is taking a more strategic approach to the problem. What being in this field really teaches you is about what's really special about being human in reasoning ability and creativity.
That's interesting. It gives you more appreciation for being human?
Absolutely. There's so much going on in the human brain, and when you try and duplicate some of it, you're humbled pretty quickly. But we have made the robots now so they can get around in unstructured environments like the home. They can go out and do real missions, and our big claim to fame is we're making them practical, we're making them affordable, and we're getting the technology into people's hands.
What do you think of the robots on Mars, the rovers?
I worked at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory.
In preparation for all of this career.
Yes, and I have a lot of friends who worked on those missions. And also, after the Sojourner mission, we got quite a few people at the company who worked on the Mars rovers. You know, what do you do after you go to Mars? Well, come and make it more mainstream. I think it's wonderful, and they're real great ambassadors for humans in space. really learning without the expense of sending a human up there until we have enough information back to make the right design decisions.
It almost seems, it seems like we're just at the beginning of a whole technological paradigm shift here. You know, like your business has unlimited potential to it.
It's a new type. We're putting technology on the market the likes of which people have never seen before. It really is a new class of device that can, perceive its environment, that can respond to it, and that, and critically, because many robotics companies forget this, do work, take on a job for someone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what, you can't tell us what your next consumer product is, but can you give us a hint at all?
No, I really can't.
It's going to be something
really
for the home?
But I ask people to keep an eye on our company web pages at iRobot.com, and we are actually putting out a consumer product for the home, a non-vacuuming consumer product for the home this coming year.
What is the ultimate robot you'd like to make someday? Do you think about, when I get this really, finished?
Well, I'm pretty happy with the robots we have today, but anything that makes people's lives easier, takes them away from doing tedious jobs. I'm pretty lazy myself, so I don't like to do those types of jobs that improve the quality of life, that keep people safer, with our military and police robots. These are all jobs that, just excellent for robots to take on.
And if somebody wants to get into robotics, what would you tell them?
I would say study engineering or sciences. And one of the things we look for when we interview people is people who have built robots before, like whether as a hobbyist, because then you can tell it's their passion.
Ah, be passionate.
It's something that, there's a lot of work that needs to go into it. There's a lot of experience that needs to be gained. So if people have some experience along these lines before, it's very helpful. But the most important thing is study engineering and the sciences.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you very much for taking time to talk with us.
Thank you.
And we'll be watching.
I hope you do.
Helen Grainer, chairman and co-founder of iRobot Corporation in Burlington, Massachusetts. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about finding some of the missing matter, not the dark stuff, but the other missing matter in the universe. So stay with us. We'll be right back.